I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. Today's guest is someone who brings major energy and even bigger results. Ariel Colon is the founder and CEO of Marketing 411, based in sunny South Florida, and she's been shacking up the home services space with bold branding, rock-solid systems, and a fearless approach to growth. She's not just running a marketing agency. She's built an award-winning multi-seven-figure business that helps contractors and blue-collar pros scale with confidence. Ariel is known for mentoring hundreds of business owners, leading global teams, and being a powerful voice for women thriving in male-dominated industries. We're going to talk about how she helps business owners get clear, scale fast, and actually enjoy running their companies. And of course, the wins, the lessons, and the mindset shifts that it took to get there. So let's jump into it. Hi, Ariel. How are you?
I'm doing good. You nailed that intro.
Oh, yay. That's our goal. Well, I would love to hear your origin story. What made you decide to start Marketing 401? Like, what did that first year look like for you?
Oh, yeah. So actually, it goes back way before Marketing 411, because this isn't my first business. So I come from a family of business owners in different generations. And so naturally, it's always been ingrained that like, business is something that I want to do. And it was just figuring out how to do it and what industry works best for me. But it started long before that. I've had many ventures before this one. And that's actually something I didn't share too often for a really long time, because some of those ventures actually didn't make it, right? And so that was like a big hurdle I had to learn and get through to finally get to something that was successful. So there was a lot before this business that went on behind the scenes. But for Marketing 411, some things happen accidentally. And so I'll just kind of give you the rundown there. But I was in marketing successfully. I had an agency, but I had met my business partner, and it was an accidental meeting. And she already had such a great audience established in the roofing space. I was not in roofing yet. I was in marketing, but not in roofing. And she needed help. Clients were demanding, they needed marketing services, and demanding in a good way, like a demand from the market, like, hey, we need this. Can you help us? And so when she heard that, she knew she needed to find someone who could help deliver. And so it's a long story, but we came together in joint forces on Marketing 411 to deliver marketing services to an industry that needed it so badly. And so essentially, that's how Marketing 411 started.
I love that story, working with somebody else who also, you know, has those skills and clearly like you guys connected on that. So you've helped so many home service businesses grow then from that partnership. What were your biggest like, oh, crap moments when you were trying to grow that on your own?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're constantly looking for growth and helping more and more contractors. So there's always like that next, like just when you think you get through something, there's always that next hurdle. And the bigger you build the business, there's more and more things. It's never like in the perfect clear. And that's something I learned, because I thought I was doing something wrong. And I started to pay for different mentorship, 10 different events, right? I'm always learning from others. And as I got like a peek behind the curtains of other operations and businesses that are doing like, you know, massive amounts of revenue, hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue, and I'm peeking behind the curtains because I thought they had it all figured out, I realized that is not the case. And so that like brought down my like sense of I'm not doing it right or not doing enough, to realizing that everybody's just figuring it out no matter what point they're at. And so that was really like a key moment for me. And so we're always going through different things. But when we first started, the immediate thing was like, okay, we need sales and we need proof of concept. Like we need to build this out quickly, because sales is what's going to support the ecosystem for us to grow and be able to do this and have a livelihood from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's more like you had kind of that, oh, aha moment, instead of like, oh, crap moment of, okay, I'm feeling like I'm never getting there. And I think that's something that I really want to explore with a lot of business owners' perspective, is that I think that we're driven to get to an end result. Like,
a destination instead of realizing that being in a business owner seat is a journey. And you, like you said, there's always that next obstacle, always that next challenge. And you were feeling like looking internally because you had very healthy like growth mentality and how can I take this responsibility and what is going on? Why am I not getting there? And almost feeling like, oh, well, what's wrong with me then? Nothing at all. That's actually like, that's right where you're supposed to be. You're always fighting that next challenge. It's that journey that you're on. I think that that's something that isn't really talked about is you never actually truly arrive. You are just always on the move. And as long as you're moving in the direction that you set out to go and you don't get distracted along the way, then that's really the right path. And you've been able to scale from 6 to 7 figures. What role has financial planning played in that kind of growth? Because here you are with this skill of you're in marketing and you're doing all that, but then you have an actual business to run that you have to make financial decisions for and put strategy together for. What was that like?
So at first, when you're building the business, for most people, it's not really there. And in our case, it wasn't, right? Like we had some form of, you know, we were looking at our numbers and stuff, but we didn't know what we were looking at. Because if you've never hit multi-seven figures before, you're not going to know how to act and make decisions as a seven-figure, multi-seven-figure business owner. It just, those are one of the things that you're going to learn as you go, right? And so now, when we first started versus now is very different. So then we were just figuring it all out, right? Because you work so hard to get the money, but now you need to work on how to not just keep the money, but multiply the money and how to use the money properly. Okay. And that's through building teams, systems, you know, people who can help you get to where you want to go and using the money for growth. So now our decisions are very financially driven. We use things called stoplight reports, and we report on those things weekly and monthly, where the leadership team will get together and we'll review our financials and we'll review, you know, what's happening in the business so we can make decisions. And something I learned as well along the way is that most companies are only looking at their financials monthly. So that gives them one time a month, 12 times a year to make a decision for their company. So that's most of your competitors, right? But we found that if you look every, and this is advice I got from, you know, learning from a mentor, but if you look at your, that type of information, those financials weekly, now you have 52 opportunities to make better financial decisions, way more than what your competitors are doing. And you could shift in real time when things are happening instead of waiting till it's too late.
That is such good advice, because I think that when we've seen working with not only my own business, but working with a lot of business owners, is it's a lot of the decision making is very reactive. And part of that shift in that growth, I think, is getting to a proactive state of strategizing and decision making. And what a great piece of advice that is. That's a very tactical and tangible way to implement something into your financial routine immediately. Hey, switch from checking out monthly, quarterly, you know, annual reports and look at it weekly. And I have to admit, I'm going to steal something from you with your permission. We'll get it here, everyone listening. So if you've known us and worked with me or my team for the last decade, you know, we have this like red, yellow, green approach. Why did I never call it the stoplight reporting? Why? Why did we're like, oh yeah, we'll do the red, yellow, green. Like, you said stoplight, and I was like, what? Why did we never call it that?
Yeah, it's so funny. We use the red, yellow, green method as well. And I actually, I didn't come up with that. The stoplight, we did some training on Empire Operating System, and I believe they called it a stoplight. So we took it. So you are more than welcome to take it. Anyone
oh
take it. Everybody should take it.
Okay, you heard it here, everyone. When we start saying stoplight, you're used to us saying, we're going to red, yellow, green it. Like, that's actually what we do. And I wasn't trying to like come up with a system or anything. It was like actually just a way that I was highlighting my own annotations of notes. And like when we were doing some analysis, it didn't matter if it was financial or operationally or even like staff teams, things like that, performance. Mm-hmm. And it was like we would have this red, yellow, green system where I was just measuring stuff. So it's just an internal saying with my own team and then things that we've shared with our clients that we measure a lot of that. So we're going to step into the professional world now, boys and girls. Everybody be on note. But so for business owners feeling stuck financially,
I think you already had some really good advice. Where should they start? Because yes, it's one thing to change the cadence of their reporting and looking at those things, but what's the first step to kind of getting on track?
Yeah, well, obviously knowing your numbers, right? Because what you think is happening and what your bank account shows might be different than what your P&Ls or the actual data is telling you, because there is certain metrics you have in different industries where you know, okay, your cost of goods should be at X percent or higher in order to be in a good standing for that business. Depending on the business you're in, each industry is a little different. And then same thing like your payroll, is it above or below average? Like, so you could see where you're spending above and below if you have that breakdown. And then the other thing, so reviewing and knowing your financials would be like the starting point, because you can't make decisions if you're not aware. So you got to be aware first, then you can make better decisions and say, okay, we need to bring down our cost of goods or increase, you know, or decrease certain things. But ultimately, the thing I'm going to tell you is there's no financial problem in your business that more sales will not fix. So you need to focus on driving more money into the business.
Oh, that is 100% truth. And one thing that you said that stood out to me is that I don't think anyone who maybe started their business had a skill set or something and didn't necessarily get proper schooling or experience in managing money and managing numbers and knowing your numbers. Okay, well, what numbers do I need to know, right? And so I think that's the most common thing I think people see is that there is a difference between your P&L and your cash flow. Like you said, what's in my bank account is not what's on this sheet of paper. So I don't understand, where is it? Well, understanding timing and when things hit and profitability is so much different than, hey, we got to pay this right now. And switching to a weekly as opposed to a monthly overview, it'll align those two much better, I think. So how do you personally approach budgeting, investing, planning, like strategic decisions when you're planning for business growth?
Yeah, I think one of the things is we look at where we want to be, where we need to be, where we want to be, what, and then we decide what's going to help us get there. What people, what systems, what softwares can help us get to that point. And everything is usually sales driven or support driven, right? Because as a business owner, you have two objectives. It's to make sure sales are coming in and you're delivering on what you say. That's it, right? Like if you're selling and deliver, like, because you want to make sure you sell, but you also meet the expectations. And so usually, you know, things will either fall into any of these two categories. So, I mean, we're looking at where we want to be, like I said, and then just reverse engineering who it would take and what it would take to get there. And then also, you know, what if we did get there, what type of financial benefit would the company have? Now, what I look at for the business versus personal is a little different. Personally, I'm all in on real estate. Like I invest in real estate. So what I make, I will take portions of that and I actually put it into real estate. And there's huge, massive tax benefits as a business owner to, you know, make sure that you invest your money properly, because you're working so hard to make it. You're working in your business. Most likely, most of us are working hard in our business or have worked hard to build it up to where it is, where we don't have to work as hard. You need to do the right things with it so that you can build your future.
That's great. That's great. And the one thing too that I wanted to circle around to that I was excited to put in the intro is that you're a woman leading in a space that's pretty male dominated. And we've got a couple of clients who are in Florida as well in the digital marketing space. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of male influence there. What has that experience taught you?
Yeah. So we're all female owned. We're in the construction industry, but you know, when I think back even to other businesses, it's always been like when I was pitching investors for one of my startups, you know, back in the day, we'll call it, like the room was at the time all men that we were pitching to investors. So I learned from a really young age that that didn't affect me. It affected me. Like a lot of people are like, how is it different? Like it's different in a way to my advantage. I get to stand out. I get to use this to my advantage and make it a reason to excel forward, not a reason to be behind. And like, I am at the same playing field as anybody else, regardless of gender, regardless of certain criteria. Like, and that's always how I've looked at things. And I've always stood for who I am and being authentic to myself. And, you know, like I have dreads, I have tattoos. That's who I am. That's what I like. And people have to deal with that. And I come in with this confidence. And that takes time to build yourself, right? Like to get like confidence in yourself enough where those types of things don't matter. Everything affects you positively. It's how you look at it.
Yeah. And you built like global teams as well and empowered people all over the world. What's been your biggest leadership lesson so far? And I love that part of that. I mean, what I'm kind of getting is just owning and identifying who you are and loving that and taking that wherever you go. That's already standing out to me in this. Do you think that's also played a part in how you lead?
Yeah, definitely. I would say leading was something really difficult for me because I came from doing everything myself as like a small business owner. And it was like I got stuck in these ways where like no one else could do it like me, or I'm micromanaging even accidentally, like even not meaning to. And I had these bad habits I really had to break when it comes to leadership. And I'm finally, that took me a lot longer. I was my biggest hurdle. I was the biggest hurdle because I didn't understand. I couldn't break those bad habits. And every time I let go of something, I would let go for a week and then I'd get back into it because I almost found problems for me to solve because that's what I was used to for so long. There becomes a point in your business, if you want to actually grow what you're doing to the next level, that you need to remove yourself. And as a leader, you need to lead without trying to solve all the problems. And so I've used a couple of methods I've learned to help me with leadership. For example, when someone brings me a problem, also bring me a handful of solutions and tell me which one you think and why, rather than me trying to solve the problem for you, because otherwise that's what I was doing and I wasn't empowering people to utilize their skills. Also, people have great ideas and you never know till you actually let them fly. So don't cage people in. You really have to start giving them the opportunity to grow and show you what they're made of and what they can do. So that was big. And the other thing I'll say is I do lead by example.
Yeah. Do you think that those things, first of all, how did you get to that point? Like, what was that? You know, you said this was a long journey for you, but like, how did you embark on that? And you know, was it something you recognized, something that was pointed out to you? And then how did you go about doing that? And then also the second piece to that was standing out when you were talking is, how did you let go of parts of your business? Do you think those things that you did in collaboration scenarios where you're asking for the solution, was that part of it? Or was that like the end game of it?
Yeah, I think everyone can relate where sometimes you say something in a meeting or say something like, why did I say that? Or what would like, what, like, you're right, you go back. But like, I think that's important is to self audit. Like, people do it in sales all the time. If you're sales, you review your sales calls, you role play, you do these things to kind of perfect how you conduct the sales call. Well, same thing in leadership. So it was a lot of self-auditing and going back and being like, okay, I messed that one up again. Okay, I messed that one up again. And being aware so that I could continue to work to try to improve it. It was a lot of, and that was, it was a me problem. It was no one else's fault. It was a me problem that I had to break through because I was so used to wearing all of the hats. And yeah. So I think it's step by step. I think one, self-auditing. I think using other techniques are really good as well. Like what we talked about with the bring a problem, but also bring a solution. Don't just come with a problem. And, you know, so the team's accountable. Another thing I heard is the 10-80-10 rule. So give somebody 10%, like the what you want them to do and the goal of it. Let them do the 80% of figuring it out and building it. And then you come in at the end 10% just to say, okay, green light, rather than trying to manage the whole project. That would be a good starting transition from just like letting go completely to like just try that method first. And then once you see, look, my team's really good. They're really capable. They're actually doing things better than I would. They have ideas as well that are really great. Like then you could really start removing yourself.
Oh, that's so good. So many gems in that. In this, a lot of tactical, very real things that are implementable, I think, immediately. And we always, you know, get to this question because this is what our podcast is all about and everything that you have been talking about today. In your opinion, what does it take to be a business owner? Like, what's the mindset, the daily reality, the inner fire that keeps someone going through all the highs and lows? Because you very much are taking like a concept, but you're also like, here's a very applicable way that you can do this. And so that's why I'm asking it very specifically for you, because I think that this is a different perspective that we haven't really explored really in a way yet on this podcast.
I love this question. There's so much I can go into, but for the one, to keep it short, like at my ultimate thing, you actually named your podcast it. It's Whatever It Takes. If you are going to get into business, I have Whatever It Takes literally tattooed on me right here, okay? Because when I was coming up in business, I knew if you're going to be a business owner, you got to do whatever it takes. This is a you versus you game. You're in a lifelong video game. I love Monopoly. You are in the game of Monopoly and it's you versus you. And so you got to be ready to do whatever it takes and have forward movement no matter what, because being a business owner is going to have its ups, its downs. People don't show you that all the time. And you need to know how to stick through it and do whatever it takes. Something my grandpa taught me from a very young age is if one door doesn't open, find another door, but you got to get in no matter what.
Oh, that's so good. Yes, yes. See, we were meant to cross paths here. Ariel, this was incredible. I love how you make marketing feel practical, very practical, powerful, and honestly kind of fun for anyone in the home services space or any business owner feeling stuck in the weeds. I think there's so much to take here from your story. And if people listening wanted to connect with you in any way, where can they connect with you? Website, Instagram, socials, anything like that?
Yeah. So if you're interested in marketing and you're in the home service industry only, and don't go outside of that, it's marketing411.com. But if you just want to connect, learn from each other and just be in each other's network, my Instagram, my Facebook, everything's at Ariel CEO.
Oh, that's great. So head over, learn more about what she and her team are up to. And thank you so much again for joining us. Thanks to our listeners for tuning into another episode of What It Takes.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.